Father, I just thank you for your mercy this morning and how you did send your Son. Because of your great love and your grace, that free gift we deserve, we can spend eternity in heaven with you, praising you and glorifying you. And it's just because of your mercy, how you had mercy on us. And you sent your Son to take the punishment that we deserve, the punishment for our sins, for all of sin and falls short of the glory of God. And Lord, when we reflect and think of how such a loving and wonderful and amazing God that we have, our Lord Jesus, Lord, there's nothing we can do but just sit here and be in awe and wonder of you. How you show your compassion and how you are merciful over and over and over again, giving us that gift that we don't deserve. And Lord, you amaze me. And Lord, just thank you also for your word. And as we open your word, I just pray that it touches people's hearts, it changes them, and they go out of here more Christ-like. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 12 and 3, and the gift of mercy. We'll focus on the gift of mercy. We've done the gifts here in Romans 12 and 3 through 8. And we're finally getting to the end of the gift of mercy. 12:3, Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, seriously, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Sounds like an oxymoron. Mercy, because you think of mercy, you think of compassion and empathy, and you hurt for those people. And if you have the gift of mercy, you are compassionate. You're a compassionate person through your words and through your actions. And you care to meet the needs of the hurting by giving empathy and comfort and just even sometimes just listening, being still and listening to them. Complain or grumble or gripe or they hurt or whatever it is. You have the gift of compassion and mercy because you are led by your heart. You wear your heart, that expression on your sleeve right there. You show a deep love and a feeling towards others and you're led by your heart. And so what you do when you hear of some tragedy or you hear of something that's going on in people's lives, you weep when they weep. But you're also joyful when they're joyful. Because you're an emotional person, right? And you can just cry and tear up easily. Even if you're just watching. One time I was watching the Antiques Roadshow. You know the Antiques Roadshow? Okay. And it's bizarre. Yes, it is. And I was watching, and you know, at the end they usually have the big prize or the big thing. And there was an elderly man, and he could tell he was in financial trouble, whatever, and he just brought this great Native American blanket. And he's looking at it, and the guy's talking, and it turned out, anyway, that it was $500,000. And I'm watching that, and the guy goes, and he got emotional, and he started crying. And I'm watching the Antiques Roadshow, and I started tearing up. And Gina goes, "What are you doing? You stop, right?" But if you have the gift of compassion, you feel what they feel and feel what they're going through and all that kind of thing. And you can watch movies, even Antiques Roadshow, and you can feel that, okay? Because he or she, if you have the gift of compassion and mercy, has the ability to show love to others, that agape love, right? And your job, your desire, the way you are wired is to make other people, make it feel better. You want to make it feel better. You are wired that way. You want to make people feel good and happy. You want to cheer them up. And so when they're doing something, it's like, oh, that's okay. It's all right. Things get better. And usually if you have the gift of mercy, you're a positive person. You have genuine cheerfulness. You're the Tiggers of the world. You know Tigger? Right? The Tiggers, they're bouncing around, right? Driving Al crazy. Rabbit just couldn't deal with him, because, you know, and just encouraging the poos in the world, right? Trying to cheer up Eeyores. And they have genuine cheerfulness. If you're a merciful person, you build relationships. And the number one thing you want is people to get along. You want people to get along, and you want people to know Jesus. They're peacemakers, and the desire is to see everyone unified in getting along. They build bridges so people can function like they're supposed to. Now, an example would be, of course, if I'm up here, and the person up here is speaking, and they spill water, and it goes over Calvin's guitar, and this is frying, you would say, don't feel bad. It's okay. It's okay. God will provide another one. No problem. I could get, you know, that's okay. It's all right. Are you hurt? It could happen to anyone. Or if you have the gift of mercy, you're the one visiting the person in the hospital. You find out about what's going on in someone's life. The Lord leads you. You're the one visiting in the hospital. And you're there and you're going, how are you feeling? Do you need anything? You know, day and night, right? You know, God's got you in hand. You know, Jesus loves you. And by the way, I love you too. That gift of mercy. The person with the gift of mercy will take a back seat to other people's needs, even though they have their own needs. They'll take that other people. They're the people in the line that there's only so many people to get into the movie theater, and there's showings coming up, and they'll go, oh, please step ahead of me. No problem. I know you want to see this movie before me. They're the ones in the traffic. They'll go, oh, go ahead. Cut in front of me. That's all right. You know, I'll get home anytime. You know, they think of other people first. They give up his privileges and preference to others because they want to make everybody unified. They want everybody happy and joyful. And the person with the gift of mercy is careful with their gift, or they're careful with their words, because they're afraid they will offend anybody. And if they say something to someone, guess what? They'll spend a couple hours thinking, oh, I should have said it that way, or I wonder what they thought about that. Or if I said it this way, maybe they would have reacted this way. Or they're expecting that reaction of going, oh, I'm happy, I'm joyful, I encouraged you. Why aren't you happy? And if it doesn't work, they're kind of down. But they're careful with the words because they're more, they're loyal to a fault to their friends too. They can't see if people are being mean or if people are even taking advantage of them or not, because they want everybody happy. They're so going, oh, great. They look at the glass half full. They look at the positive side of people, and they just trust people, and they're loyal to a fault, even to their friends. If you have the gift of mercy, you're trustworthy and honest. You assume everyone is honest and reliable and do what they're going to say until it's proven wrong. And they may even be gullible. Really? They did what? Okay. A person with the gift of mercy will also avoid conflicts and confrontation, because that's the worst thing in the world for them to do. Because everybody's supposed to get along. We're supposed to be unified, right? And so even if there's something really, they'll do anything for peace and harmony, and it's difficult for them to cope with conflicts or confrontations. They have a hard time calling people out for what they're doing or what they're not doing. And it's because they avoid it at all costs. Because they look to the good in people. They see the potential, and they also can be blinded from seeing the bad. The person with the gift of mercy has a deep need for friendships. Friendships and relationships are how they are wired. They enjoy being around people. They enjoy the social activity of all things. They love to have those close, deep friends, because in this whole unity and friendship, they have to look at each other and they go, are we okay? Yeah, we're okay. Great, we're okay. Yay, we can get along. I didn't offend you, really? Because they need reaffirming. And they're ruled by their heart rather than their head, because they understand the needs of others, their feelings is what drives them, and they're emotional. And they are a person that, in a room, they can come along and come up to you and they sense something's wrong. Or right. Or your mood. Hey, I noticed you're feeling a little down. Is there anything I can do for you? Hey, you're really happy today. Anything going on? What's happening? They're the person that can understand and just have a listening ear, because they know that when you're emotional. And they empathize the thing they hurt when you're hurting. They can see and watch something on the news that will just wrench their heart. And they want to do something about it. And they get frustrated when they can't do anything about it. Because they want to fix it. They want to fix the hurt. They want to try to remove the hurt, the source of the hurt. And if you are married to someone who has the gift of mercy, it's good to have an opposite. Good to have a prophet in your life with the gift of exhortation to say, you know what? You can't just keep on going and helping everybody and all this stuff. Everybody, because there's always a need. You need someone like that to balance you out. Okay? Because when people sometimes go through hurts and trials, the Lord's working in their lives. The Lord's got them. The Lord Jesus is doing something in their lives to teach them something. And if you're going to rescue them all the time, they might not benefit from that trial. A person with the gift of mercy is deeply sensitive, and their feelings can be hurt. But also, if they have the gift of mercy, that you know that sense of love is genuine and real, because it's deep. People with the gift of mercy spend time praying for others, interceding in prayer for the needs of the church and the prayer for people. And as I said before, opposites attract. If the gift of mercy, prophet and a perceiver, one who speaks the truth, attract. It's like John. John had the gift of mercy, and Peter bold, spoke out. They balanced each other out. A problem that people with the gift of mercy might have is they're indecisive. They can't make decisions easily. Because if they're afraid if they make the wrong decision, that's going to offend that person. If they make that, they want to please people. They want to make everybody happy. So they're difficult making decisions because they don't want to offend anybody. They want to make everybody happy. And that can be a danger, can it? This and that. And then they can be indecisive, so they'll delay and pray and put it off as long as possible. And they can also get to that point where they go, oh, I said yes to this person, so I better say yes to this person to balance it out. And so maybe this is, and it can be this all mixed up. People with the gift of danger is also, they can look at people as possessions. And they can have two or three really close, loyal friends. And then as it happens in life, you'll have some really close friends, and then sometimes they'll move, or sometimes they'll do something else, or something can happen in life. And you have new friends, and so they'll be possessive with them. They'll go, they'll be thinking like this. That friend hasn't called me in a while. I haven't heard from him in 2 or 3 weeks. Did I do anything wrong? I've hurt his feelings. Oh, what's wrong with me? Right? Okay, they become possessive with them. They also, the danger to watch out if you have the gift of mercy is they can be so sympathetic and so understanding of the people going through trials or the hurts or the things that they do that they won't call out sin. They'll tolerate evil. Oh, that's okay. Boys will be boys. What a lie, right? You know, it's okay. They're going through those terrible teens. No, right? Call it like it is. They'll fail to be firm, and then people can walk all over them, and they kind of hate the discipline because they want everybody to get along. And a good thing is they can be led by their emotions, but also it can be a bad thing because they can, as I said, their emotions are out, they can be easily hurt. And the things with the gift of mercy, they look at people that are insensitive. Those people you know, right? You know some of them. You may be that way yourself, right? Oh, look at that person. downtown, homeless on the street. He just deserves that. Serves him right. And you look at those people and go, what are you talking about? Right? That thing. They can be easily offended by insensitive people. And so if there's insensitive people around them, they'll go, I don't want to have anything to do with that. All right. Those are some warnings. Those are some guidelines. Let's use some examples now. Jesus in Mark 5, 35 through 42. Let's look at Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus, our Lord, definition of mercy, reaches out to anybody, whether they're from a high-class society or the low-class society. Mark 5, 35 through 42. Mark 5. 35. While he was still speaking, this is Jesus, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that it was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult of those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And he ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, rise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Well, Jesus reaches out to anyone in need. He does that now. He does that always. If you need healing, you need purpose, you need direction, you need something missing in your life, you need Jesus, the answer to all problems. Jesus, the Savior, the need of a Savior. And here Jesus, with Jairus' daughter, who was a wealthy leader of the synagogue. He was a visible person. He was a somebody. You can tell because he had hired people to mourn. In 7, the tumult of those who wept and wailed loudly. He was rich enough to hire people when someone died. In that culture, you would hire someone to mourn. And to mourn, they wailed and tore their clothing and moaned aloud. And there was a great tumult, a great noise outside his house. But just before a woman was healed, he healed this woman because Jesus has mercy on every class, every race, every creed, every color, every person. And he had healed a woman who reached out in faith and was healed. She was an outcast. She was an outcast because she bled for 12 years. And she reached out by faith and touched his robe, and the power went out from him and he healed her. So from a wealthy leader in the synagogue who was visible, a somebody, and to an unknown, an untouchable. He touches Rome, and she was healed by faith. Two people at the opposite ends of society sought out Jesus. And Jesus is like that. It's no accident. Your life is not an accident. Your life may think, as you're going through life, you may think that you have it all planned out. You may be like the Jairuses of the world here today, where you think you have everything going. You've got your 401k, you got your retirement planned, you've got your 2 cars, you've got your home, you've got everything all worked out, your kids are healthy, they're going to college and all that kind of stuff, and next thing you know, boom, something tragic can happen. Things can be great, and next thing, boom, at a moment's notice, could bring tragedy into your world. Or you could be here today and you could be like the woman who had 12 years of being shunned, 12 years of disappointment, 12 years of, oh, Lord, I've been praying and you still haven't answered this prayer over and over and over again. You're an outcast. You have a persistent problem. And then guess what? Experience a miracle. An amazing healing. Amazing redemption. And amazing of amazing proportions. And these illustrations in the Bible show Jesus' mercy and Jesus' love for us as people. When you, and it also is an illustration, when you, if you're living your life like the Jairuses, and that's great, the Lord's blessing you, it keeps you from being complacent in your walk. Because you know, something like that, a tragedy could just happen. And also, on the other hand, it keeps you, if you are living your life and you're going through all sorts of trials and going through like the lady, it keeps you being depressed and down. Because the key is to keep our eyes where? On the Lord, on Jesus. Because the Lord is our shield, He's our rock, our protector, and He's also our comforter. He's our comforter. And so when we're going on our trials, I can picture Jesus just reaching down with those gentle hands and grabbing with this gift of mercy and gently lifting our head up so we're looking right in His face. He's saying, I got you. I'm okay. You're going to make it. You're okay. I have it planned out. And He lifts our head up so we're looks right in His face and we depend totally on Him. The believers, I love this here, he says, do not be troubled, but believe. Literally, it means keep on believing, even though everything seems impossible. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep on looking to Him. As I said before, Jairus is a rich man. He had professional mourners, and so he was a wealthy man. And Jesus performed the miracle of healing his daughter and the miracle of healing the woman. Miracles are performed today through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you notice it's not what was said, come out and heal, like sometimes on TV. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Lord, and it's He who is glorified, not people. And I love the humanness of Jesus after He does this amazing miracle. And little girl, I say to you, arise. What does He say? Get her something to eat. Practical, right? Go get her some soup. Oy vey, get her some chicken matzo ball soup or something. Practical ministry demonstrates God's love for His people. Bring someone some soup. Now, my in-laws, for Christmas this year, for all the grandkids, they got a little toy and all that kind of stuff. But once in a while, Grandma will send this random email. Because what they decided to do this year for Christmas for the grandkids is says, we're going to take $20. And we're going to go around this community, whether it's Walmart or Safeway or somebody, and we're going to just, whoever the Lord lays on our heart, we're just going to give them $20 for each grandkid, right? Not like, okay, I got 20 grandkids, you get $200 or $400. No, each one, right? So, the other day, get this email, it said, there was a lady trying to sell newspapers at Walmart the other day. I felt so sorry for him because no one's buying your newspapers and stuff. I started talking to her, and so, this is in the name of blah, 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 Emma, here's $20. So, just that random act of kindness, that gift of mercy, the Lord laid it on the heart for being it, doing this. Jesus is an example of our grant of mercy, complete mercy, because obviously He died on the cross for us. He gives us that free gift that we don't deserve, salvation. Have mercy on the people. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I pray today that today is the day of your salvation, because we need that and we need Him. We need Jesus. We need Him because this life is temporary. We have eternal life. And when we place our faith and trust in Jesus, we will spend and guaranteed to spend eternity in heaven with him. Now, John has had the gift of mercy. John, in John 13, 23, he wrote down, he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that amazing love that we have, he gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And I believe that the amazing love we have, the more we study, the more we know, the amazing love we have with Jesus gets simpler. We want to make it complex. We want to understand, try and understand, and that's good to study and to understand and know the history and apologetics and all that. But when we can get to that point where it's the simplicity of it, where we know that we have the faith, we know that Jesus is Lord, we know that he died for us, and we place our faith and faith in him alone, and we know that we will go to heaven because we love him, because he's forgiven us. The simplicity of it, like the little song, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. It's faith. That's faith. We know it. He loves you wherever and whatever and wherever you're at, whatever you're done, whatever you're going through, he still loves you, and that also shows his mercy. And if I'll let you look at John 23 to 25, it's the picture of John resting his head on the breast of Jesus. So they're lying around having dinner after dinner, and here's John lying on the Lord's chest with his head near Jesus' heart, right? Near him at his table. Near him at, they had just finished communion. And when we do communion the second Sunday, and we do communion the fourth Wednesday, for me, that's when we are nearer to him. Near here, his heart. When we reflect and we think of the great love and the sacrifice that he poured out his blood for us, he was bruised and beaten for our iniquities. And we're nearer to him when we finally get to that point where we rest in him and we trust completely in him. And then the final example I want to use is in Luke 10:30-35. In Luke 10:30-35, used a familiar story, the story of the Good Samaritan, showing the mercy that we have on others, the mercy we have for people. Luke 10:30-35. Okay? All right. Luke 10:30. Give me an example. Parable of a Good Samaritan. In 29 says, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? The whole point is, who is our neighbor? Think about that. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. This trip is 20 miles long. It drops in elevation 3,600 feet, many places for thieves and robbers to hide. It was known at the time as the Bloody Way. It was a great place for thieves to ambush. Lots of caves and cliffs to hide behind. He's cruising, going along. Thieves come out, and it stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed. Wounded, beat him up completely, leaving him half dead. Now he was traveling alone. He knew it was called the Bloody Way. Was he overconfident? Or was he just dumb? Don't know. But in our lives, when we try and do things on our own, step out and go things alone without the Lord. Usually when we go somewhere, right? Your parents always say, call when you get there. Call when you get back, right? Let me know where you're at. Why? protection and safety and a shield. He's traveling alone, and he does this thing traveling alone, and he gets mugged and beat up. And in our lives, we can do dumb things when we think we can do it all on our own. Stepping out and doing things, oh, I can do this, doesn't matter. We can handle things ourselves. Oh, don't worry. You know what? I've been battling with this temptation for years and years and years. Now I've got it conquered. I think I can go back into that lifestyle now. I can go, and you know, careful, right? We can easily fall back into temptation. We can handle things ourselves. And now he was half dead, leaving him half dead. Alive, barely, physically. Dead, spiritually, half dead. In our walk with Jesus, we can become so complacent that we can become half dead. Sure, we're alive physically. We're alive and we come to church and we're here and we're doing things and we're serving, but all of a sudden, sometimes we can just be going through the motions. Where's the excitement? Where's the joy of our salvation? Where's your relationship with Jesus? Where's the joy? Are you spending time with Him? Are you changing? Or do you know Him? Or do you know other people in this church? It's time to build relationships. Relationship with each other, relationship with the Lord. Time to not be dead spiritually. And now he's going, and the next thing in 31, he says, now by a chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. The priest was the politician of that day. They made the decisions. And they're the ones in power, the ones in control. And he walked by the other side. And maybe he's saying, oh, that just serves him right. Or in Deuteronomy, it says, if a priest would touch someone or something that is dead, he was unclean for 7 days. And so maybe he's going, oh, I can't touch that person because I've got two more important things to do. I've got too many decisions to make. I'm too important. I've got to get things done. I can't spend time with this one, you know. Maybe I got to take a poll. Maybe my popularity would go up or down. I don't know. But he was avoided him. He was a politician of the day. I can't touch him. Can't let that happen to me. I'm too important. This heart of the priest was far away from the Lord's heart as could be. He had a complete disconnect with what it means to be a neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Now, likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and came and looked and passed on the other side. So now there's a Levite. A Levite at that time was like the public servants of today. Police officers, social workers, teachers, ambulance workers, firemen, public service, the ones that serve and protect, the ones who give up themselves for the greater cause, the one who sacrifice their time to be something, a part of something bigger than themselves. Perhaps this Levite, who knows, maybe he was scared. Maybe he thought, well, I'm looking around. There's a bunch of thieves out here. Maybe they're still there. Who knows? But he didn't. Maybe they're thinking, they don't pay me enough for this job. Who knows? But he avoided helping too. Maybe he thought, oh, no one's around. No one will know. I don't need to help. Then there's the Samaritan. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion, mercy. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Samaritan, sworn, hated enemy of the Jews, he's the one who had mercy and compassion. He showed the love of Jesus. And he was a human He saw that it was a human being there and he needed help. And it's right in the middle of the road and I'm there and I'm going to help. He showed mercy and compassion out of love and he helped. He not only had the physical help, he bandaged his wounds, he helped them financially. Because the innkeeper says, I'll take care of him for a price. The cost for staying here is 2 denarii. But if it's more than that, you know, I'm probably going to throw him out. But Jesus in our lives. Be that good neighbor. Go and do likewise. Because Jesus, he provides the money. He provides the resources. He provides everything, the gifts and our talents. And the thing is, what are we doing with them? The Samaritan, regardless of race or religion or political affiliation or sex, or he saw a need. He didn't look down to see this is a Samaritan. I can't help you. And he used his resources, his abilities, and time given by God to help out the person. And there are things in our lives that we think probably are important. And there are things in our lives that we hang on to and we don't give over to the Lord. And there's things in our lives that we don't want to step out in faith. And when the Lord wants us to go and do likewise. And there's opportunities I know that we've missed. Forgive us, Lord. When we say, this is mine, but in your life. When you step out on faith and serve the Lord. When you meet the needs of others. When you are, the Lord puts someone in your life that you are to be merciful to. And when you do that, you will never forget the effort it took to step out and do for others rather than yourself. You'll never regret the time that it takes to go out of your way to help others with a problem and point them to Jesus. You'll never regret the energy and the effort it takes to help someone who's been beat up physically or emotionally or spiritually by the world. And you'll never regret the lives you touch when you step out and show mercy and showing how much you care. We all have spiritual gifts. We all have certain ones that are more prevalent than others. We all have some of these to use to further the kingdom, to do one another, to help others, to love one another, to care for one another, to help one another and to show the love of Jesus to others. He has given us all we need. He's given us the talents. He's given us the time. He's given us the treasures. Will we make the sacrifice? Will we expend the energy? Will we do whatever it takes to serve Jesus here in this church, here in this community, and throughout the world? Father, we just ask that each one here understands their spiritual gifts or understands the gift of mercy. And Father, I just pray that we are a body of believers that go and do likewise, that we show mercy and kindness and care for others. And Lord Jesus, I pray for each one of us here. That our relationship with you is strong and growing and vibrant. But Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you, I just pray that right now as the music plays, they pray a simple prayer like this. They say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner.